Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. We've got tons to talk about tonight. Everything you could want in an episode was here. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Bringing it old school on tonight's episode. I actually didn't know that the title was a reference until you pointed it out.
I don't know if it was specifically a reference to Jimi Hendrix, but I hope it was.
I really hope that's, you know, what went into
yeah.
it. Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're talking about the episode Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire from Season 4. Joining me on the panel tonight is the wonderful Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. We are going to be following along with the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVMarvel. And we're also going to be keeping an eye on the live chat. That's what it's called.
Yeah, for sure.
Live chat.
Yep.
Thereabouts. As you may have noticed, we are down 2 agents tonight.
My goodness.
Unfortunately, Agent Azuri could not join us again. And
she's on assignment with her wedding.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
no big. Just this little thing.
Yeah.
Just this little assignment. Agent Wilson, mm-hmm. on the other hand, you guys will see why he's not here come the Tomorrow Show on Thursday.
We can't say what it is, but if you are a fan of all things Marvel, you should look at that Tomorrow Show on Thursday.
Do it. Do it, guys. Do not miss it. It's going to be a treat.
Yes.
So, let's go ahead and talk about this episode.
I am very happy to.
I mean, it's always a pleasure, like, watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel.
Yeah.
Because we get the full-on emotional journey that is every single episode.
We got a set piece that I haven't seen in TV or film since, like, the 80s, which is, like, people just don't work at fireworks factories anymore.
That's like, very true.
The only purpose of having someone working at a fireworks factory
is to light up
so that
the
there
fire.
Are explosions. There's no other reason.
You know, come to think of it, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody work in a fireworks factory if it wasn't a specific cartoon pratfall setup. Yeah,
it is a Chekhov's factory.
Yeah.
You would not introduce a factory
a
in the first act and have it not explode by the third act.
And I mean, it's true. Coulson pointed it out. There are beings that can light themselves on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you have fireworks at some point.
It's gotta happen.
It's gotta happen.
Yeah.
It's gotta happen. That being said, freaking A, Hellfire versus Ghost Rider.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That was great. As soon as we learned that Ghost Rider was gonna be in this season, we're like, well, we have to get a chain battle.
We're like, James is still alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. He's still alive. And we weren't sure if they tossed him in jail or what the deal was. So I was very pleased to see him come back. Sad to say, it's not really that surprising that he went the traitor route.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about him being anti-inhuman. On the one hand, it makes sense, given what he went through with Hive. On the other hand, it's like, yeah, his whole life he wanted to go through Terra Genesis, so it's a really weird about-face turn.
Yeah, it's it reminded me a lot of when you hear about, like, POWs and, like, people like that who are in war, and they start working for the people that have captured them, or, like, in, like, internment camps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, they start hating themselves as well. And, like, it seemed like, yeah, he had that like terrible guilt with him and was just like, yeah, I agree, we're the worst. And I mean, yeah, to be fair, he was mind controlled for a year.
And yeah, to be fair, he was always a jerk.
Yeah.
But like, this is a guy who went through a terribly traumatic experience. And we see that with Daisy, and we forgive Daisy for a lot of the awful things that she's doing right now.
Yeah.
But, like, we forget that, you know, she's not the only one that went through this.
Yeah.
Everybody else who was involved went through the exact same thing. And, you know, but at the same time, not all of them have, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. having their back.
Yeah, well, Daisy would rather not have S.H.I.E.L.D. have her back if she had her druthers. Do we want to start with the beginning of that storyline with, like, Coulson and Mac and Cheese?
I was actually thinking of starting with Gemma and Daisy.
Okay, let's do
it. Coming together. Because Gemma's looking at this apartment in what we assume is Pasadena?
Yeah, maybe? It looked like Pasadena. It looked straight up like they were in Pasadena.
Which, when she pushed the door open and it was unhinged and, like, you just see the really crappy door frame, I'm like, yeah, that's what looking for an apartment in Los Angeles is like.
It was scary. It was very scary. I like it because we haven't seen this combination this year.
Yeah.
Like, they gave us some unique combinations today, which I liked. Seeing them together and seeing that despite Gemma being the boss, she still cares about Daisy.
A lot.
And was, like, mothering her, just like, stop it. Because she introduced herself by slumping and leaving a giant blood stain on the side. And she's like, this apartment's yours, by the way.
Oh, sorry about the mess.
Yeah.
It's yours. It's also rent controlled now. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And we have a few people in the chat pointing out how exciting it is that Fitz and Simmons are looking for a place together.
It is great. It's adorable. I love how they're handling their relationship this year.
I am too, because after, you know, several seasons of frustration and some storylines being, you know, with their romance being better than others.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nice to finally see them as a couple and to just have normal couple conversations, like, and just say, I love you very casually. It's so nice.
I mean, we're getting to the end of it, but I loved where he thought that she was jealous because she was, because Ada was an attractive woman, but no, she was jealous because he's been hanging out with
an artificial android intelligence.
Yeah.
Duh. Any idiot could see that. I love that literally everybody except Coulson, like, picked up on the fact.
Yeah, it was just like...
May picked up on it. Gemma picked up on it.
Yeah, it was very... Yeah, well, since he made my hands for me.
And me too.
And no one else picked up. It was just like...
Oh, my gosh.
It was great. It was a great moment. I like their coupling. I think it's good. They both need vanity mirrors, so...
Absolutely.
That's important for any couple.
And finding a place that's rent-controlled in Los Angeles, like,
that is
a steal,
that
guys.
Is some amazing agent work right there.
I don't know how she... I don't know what hacking magic she pulled off in order to find Fitz and Simmons the perfect apartment.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense that it's in Pasadena. Like, it's far away from L.A.
It's lovely. It's Old Town is gorgeous. It's going to be great.
If there's no traffic, your commute is 45 minutes. If there is traffic, it's 6 hours.
Well, hopefully, I mean, you just take the Quinjet to wherever you're
going. That's true. You
got to
take that Quinjet.
But anyway, this was great. And you're absolutely right. It's so nice to see these two working off of each other. And it's nice to see... You know, Daisy try to wrap her head around the fact that Gemma is the boss now.
Yeah.
Like, I think she expected everybody to kind of stay frozen. It's the same thing whenever anybody leaves a group. You expect everybody in the group to stay the same as you go off and do your own thing. And then it surprises you when they come back and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, Gemma's the boss.
Yeah, that and, like, how Simmons was... like, surprised that anyone could hack their system. And, like, we got a lot more backstory on, like, number one, that we know the way that they are tracking all of the Inhumans are these watches that they all have on them. And the watches have, like, their heart rate monitor. And, like, wherever they are, it's a GPS. And all of that kind of stuff as well. So we got a little bit more backstory on what the Sokovia Accords and, like... the Inhuman part of that have kind of given them.
Yeah, because we've gotten hints of it with Yo-Yo and Yo-Yo checking in with S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything like that. But, like, for... I don't want to say for the everyday Inhuman, because James isn't an everyday Inhuman.
Sure.
But for the everyday Inhuman who's just going about their business.
Yeah, James isn't an asset, like, isn't a listed asset like Yo-Yo is. Like, he's someone who's... they are trying to integrate back into the real
society,
world.
Yeah. And again, you got to feel bad for him. But it is fascinating, you know, the way the Watchdogs were able to hack S.H.I.E.L.D. And guys, this is one of the many reasons why it's terrible to keep lists of people in your databases.
Because they're going and killing everyone.
Exactly! Yeah. And I said it again and again last season, and now it's happening. And yep. I'm saying, no! Bad S.H.I.E.L.D. You were knew correct. Better.
You were correct in every way.
That's always nice to hear.
Yep.
Let me hear it one more time.
You were correct. Yay! In every way. I wonder how long they were waiting in that storage room.
What did they talk about?
They were just like hanging there waiting for him to open it up.
Open it up. Yeah. How long, like at what point were they already there? Like, because they were anticipating S.H.I.E.L.D. to come in. Did he text them and say, hey guys, I've got an Inhuman here who works with S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, just hang out in my storage closet.
You know how we were joking about that storage closet thing? Let's see if it works. I'll bring my bocce balls.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Oh, no. Ugh, he would probably say it's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a blast. But yeah, that entire interaction, hearing how James has like dealt with his depression, and like, yeah, it made sense to me that he was with the Watchdogs. He was always not like the most trustworthy guy anyway.
No, but at the same time, it's kind of tragic.
It is definitely tragic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I feel bad because he's, like I said, he's always been a jerk, but like, yeah, even if he was a jerk, you feel like he didn't deserve it. Or at least he didn't deserve Hive.
No.
That sort of thing.
I don't think anyone deserves Hive, yeah.
No. And so seeing what it's done to his mind and his perception of Inhumans and, you know, the rest of the world, it's kind of awful, but yeah, you totally buy into it.
Yeah. My favorite part was was Daisy saying, who decided to put him in the fireworks factory? The person in charge of the terrible ideas division? And I would like to say, S.H.I.E.L.D., if you're hiring someone for terrible ideas division, please put me at the top of your list. I'll send in a resume of all my terrible ideas I've ever had. It's 30 pages long.
Let us know if you're taking referrals. That'd be please fantastic. Do. Yeah. We've got plenty of references for you.
I have a list of ex-girlfriends that can tell you the terrible ideas I've made.
One could argue that under the new director, the whole department is the terrible ideas division.
Oh, I like the new director.
I like him too, yeah. But one could argue.
I would argue with that one.
I like him too. I think he's not as bad as everybody's made him out to be.
I like the new director. I like that he is an Inhuman.
I don't like all of the policies that he's implemented, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You can't have a bunch of lone wolves running around out there.
Yeah.
It makes for great TV, though.
And then leading up to that, we're really seeing, like, the damage that not having her gauntlets is doing to Daisy.
Which, it's interesting that Gemma points out you're using them, right? And it's been a choice. Like, I kind of thought that maybe she left them with S.H.I.E.L.D. or that they confiscated it from her or something, but she's just choosing not to use them as a way of, like, I assume punishing herself.
Yeah, the excuse she gave was they're not, you know, they're not exactly subtle.
They're not inconspicuous.
Yeah, but yeah, it feels like it's like a self-imposed kind of injury. It
absolutely does. Because
and she may have broken both her arms.
I like that. I mean, not to jump ahead, but I like that she's going to have them back in the next episode.
Yeah, we saw in the preview.
Because that, I don't like having her power so dampened.
Yeah.
Because every time she uses her power, it inflicts pain. And, like, she's just been worse for wear the entire season.
Yeah, especially when you've got a season with a character who is as powerful as the Ghost Rider.
Exactly.
There's no reason that you can't write two powerful characters.
Exactly. But, again, totally makes sense. And, yeah, I think it's absolutely a self-imposed thing as opposed to, like, wanting to keep a low profile.
Yeah.
You can wear sweaters that cover that up. It's not that big a deal.
You can wear a sensible sweater I don't know if you noticed, but Daisy mostly wears like fishnet tops and like mesh on her hands.
It just wouldn't go with my gloves, guys. They just clash. It's too bad.
I like that when we finally got the Ghost Rider Hellfire fight, we didn't get much of the fight. No. But they still like gave us a fireworks show.
They're like, we can't do this fight like right now. Yeah. We can't do it right now. James is still alive. But here's a fireworks display.
Are you
instead.
Happy? Hello, everyone. Here's the fireworks.
Well, I almost feel like it in some ways, the way it was, they had this set up at this particular time, it wouldn't have been much of a fight. If Ghost Rider was actually trying to kill him, because, you know, he had him.
Yeah.
And yeah, Hellfire, you know, found a way to kind of weasel out of it before the explosion. But, like, they were staring face to face. If Robbie had wanted to, boom, like, could have flipped the switch and done the penance stare.
Yeah.
And James is no saint. I feel bad for him in this scenario, but... He's not a saint. No, he's a pretty bad guy.
I feel like that penance stare would have ashed him pretty quickly.
Yeah. That being said, do you think later on in the season we're going to get a full-fledged proper fight?
Like volume two?
part two, the revenge.
Part two. I don't know. Maybe. It looks like, seeing it, what the previews are going on, it seems like they're going with this Darkhold plot and... Now that we've got the team back together, it looks like right now what we're doing is doing a lot of ghost chasing.
Yeah, it's like with the two main like plot lines going on is the stuff with the watchdogs, which is a way to keep all of the inhuman stuff like relevant and in the loop and to tie all that up from previous seasons, because it's been going for 2.5 seasons now. While simultaneously pushing the magic aspect of things with the Darkhold and the ghosts.
Yeah, just legitimate ghosts. when we saw her go into Joseph's brain, I was
and Joseph Bauer, like, which I kind of thought it was interesting that they kept his face obscured up until we actually got to see him in the hospital.
Yeah.
In which case I was like, oh, because I kept expecting like his, you know, seeing him for the first time to be kind of a big reveal.
Like someone we thought we'd seen.
Not necessarily, but I just thought it was interesting that they kept like obscuring his face until we actually saw him in the hospital.
Yeah. But when she went and fiddled with his brain, I was like, okay, we're going full ghost.
Yeah.
Like there's no doubt about it. And they even called... They even called it the ghost virus, the thing that she'd been doing to people to make them scared and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag who you gonna call? You're welcome. From, I think that's Hono Fitz in the chat. Yep. I can't tell.
The Ghost Rider is who you're gonna call.
That's exactly who you're gonna call. Because he can light said ghosts on fire.
Yeah.
Which, again, very interesting. Although with, I can't help but wonder, because she has touched him, if like he's not going to be crazy by the time S.H.I.E.L.D. gets there the next episode.
Yeah, I think he is.
Is that something she can control, or is it literally just anybody they touch?
I don't know. Looking in the previews, it looked like he was a little nutso.
Like, yeah. Well, at least now there's a kind of treatment for it. You just have to, like, they're working on a chemical equivalent of shutting off your brain for 7 minutes.
Yeah. We've been talking around it. Can we talk about the Ghost Rider Chase and Lola? I
wanted to get back to meeting with Eli, but yeah, let's just go ahead and talk about Lola and Hellcharger.
I mean, just real quick, we got to see the coolest cars go against each other
in the
LA River, like Terminator 2 style.
Seen a car chase in the LA River since Terminator 2.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved it.
This is what I meant by there's everything you could want in this episode. Is we have Lola versus the Hellcharger and Hellfire versus Ghost Rider. Like, I did
in
not
one
think,
episode
in
yeah.
one episode I made lots of noises while we were watching this episode, guys.
Next episode is just gonna be Coulson reading a dictionary. They're like, we gave you too much last episode. He's just gonna read a dictionary for an hour.
He's just gonna flip it to a random page and just go down the line. It'll be a very educational
I love that Mac kept on trying to drive.
I love that Coulson was like, how much do you weigh? And Meg's like, I'm not weighing you down. Yeah. That's not how this works. It was a fantastic sequence. And like, I really appreciate that, too. And I know that, like, prior to this season, there was a lot of buzz about, you know, before the reveal,
yeah.
There was a lot of buzz about heavy stunts and a lot of FX work being done. And I like that we get this fantastic car chase as one of those big stunt scenes.
Yeah. It also ends with a car crash that, if you are not a Spirit of Vengeance or
probably
some sort of...
probably would have super killed you.
Yeah, would have killed you so, so quickly. I was like, oh, he's a dead man. Oh, no, he's a ghost rider.
He survived being stabbed and, like, getting run over. Yeah, he'll
he's
be okay.
Fine.
In all honesty, like, when they threatened to throw him out of the Quinjet, I'm like... he would have been okay.
Yeah, I don't think
it would have been a mild inconvenience at worst.
Yeah, I feel like you have to use magic to beat the Ghost Rider.
I feel like that too. And has Johnny Blaze ever like died?
Well, he's gotten beaten like in World War Hulk, the comic books. The Hulk beats him, but it, like you have to really like use magic. You have to magic your way away from a Ghost Rider.
I was gonna say, I feel like the closest I can think of is Deadpool, like going through history and destroying like all of the
writers,
all of the original characters that eventually lead to all the Marvel superheroes.
Yeah,
like, I think going back and trying to kill the Headless Horseman was the impetus for trying to kill Ghost Rider. I think it, I don't know, I might be mistaken on that one. But basically he gets bored and just decides, like, hey, I'm going to kill all these literary characters.
Sure.
Including Sherlock Holmes and all these other guys.
That sounds awesome.
It is. But this scene was so great. And
it
yeah,
was really well shot. Really, really cool action sequence.
What I like, too, is that none of these plot lines coming together feel forced.
No.
Like, I do have some thoughts on the changes to Eli's character.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the linchpin of why none of this feels forced, is because it makes sense that they would go to, you know, the former engineer of this place, who happens to be Robbie's uncle, which early on I was like, is that the tie? That doesn't make sense knowing Eli. But they've had to make drastic changes to his character in order to make all the rest of this flow. I wanted to know, what do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're the Robbie Reyes expert on this panel. I think that the retcons, like, I think, again, it's different universes. Like, Marvel's said this, that, like, you know, the Thor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is different than the Thor in the comic books. So you can expect that there are some differences in this MCU versus the comic books.
Well, at this point, you have to accept and acquiesce to the changes that need to be made to make everything fit into this world.
Well, especially like the disability difference, that kind of stuff. Like, it just, like, a lot of it is done so that the TV aspect works for it. But also, I think it's changed so that they have an easier way of, like, making it make sense. And then tying him into the Darkhold, I think, is a great way, instead of it being like, it's his dead uncle who is also a spirit. Like,
well, the thing that makes me very confused is, like, I'm like, his uncle is a good guy here. Because in the comics, it's just like, oh, he's just so
his uncle's
cringe.
Not a good guy.
Opposite of good. And the fact that he has possessed Robbie in that way, it's just a special level of ick.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think you're losing out on some character development with Robbie, but I think you're also gaining a lot of, like, magic stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
You know. Again, it's one of those things where you have to learn to let that go. And if you're only just now kind of learning to accept that with this show, you probably haven't read that many comics.
Yeah, I mean, you're still getting the Ghost Rider on screen.
You're amazing.
You're getting Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, not even the Ghost Rider that we've seen, with the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider,
which
already in movies.
I love that they've embraced Robbie. I know we've talked about this before, but it's just a wonderful way of making the world more diverse and everything. Price in the live chat goes, no!
Yeah. You spelled there incorrectly, Price.
That's okay.
No,
I fully accept it.
Grammar nerds.
correcting grammar is exactly what nerds would do.
Would we consider doing reaction videos?
You know, it's something we've talked about. Ivan Soto in the chat asked us that. It's something we've talked about. It's not necessarily something we've felt like pursuing, but maybe.
The problem is we never know when there's going to be something big that's going
to
happen.
Exactly. So it's hard to predict. And the other thing is, too, is when we watch the show, we want to watch it. And yeah, our reactions can be priceless. But at the same time, it's a lot to go through, and we'd have to go through and pick out specific parts to, like, edit together. And, you know, our main priority is this show. So maybe. It would be fun, but like I said, our priority is coming in for this show on time as best we can.
Yeah. back to that, I think, I'm glad that they have Reyes. His skull looks so awesome.
It's so good.
It's so cool. I think it's so much better than just a boring old human skull that we all have.
I love that they've taken bits from the character design in the comics and how stylized that was, and they've made it work. Yeah. Every time we see that transformation sequence, get chills, and it makes me so happy. Is there anything else we want to talk about in terms of Eli, the changes to Eli and Robbie kind of joining the team before we move on?
Well, just that moment between Mac and Cheese.
Your Coulson, favorite my dynamic
favorite,
duo.
My favorite call sign, Cheese and Coulson. I think the thing is, I'm looking at the live chat, and there's a lot of their arguments going on, and it's bothering me. They are. The moment I want to talk about is where they say that he said that the devil gave him his power, and they say, well, and Coulson says, in my experience, gods are usually from outer space or aliens, and they kind of leave that open where it's like maybe this version of the spirit of vengeance or the Ghost Rider is not a straight up magic and could be more of the Thor style.
Well,
magic is technology
Thor,
kind of thing.
I love the way, you know, that again, they set that precedent very early on in the MCU with, you know, in my world, the two are the same.
Yeah.
In terms of being able to kind of like hand wave away, like, it's magic, just accept it.
Yeah.
But I like that ambiguity gets reinforced when we have, you know, Lucy and the fact that, like, everybody is accepting that this is a ghost, but it was a scientific accident that turned them into ghosts, and it was science that was able to contain them.
Or even with Ada, Radcliffe literally created a person, which is magic and also science.
Which, we're going to have to talk about Ada in just a second. I want to talk to you guys really quickly, though, about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, comment, and subscribe. We love hearing from you. We love that we have an international audience that continually blows my mind.
That's so awesome.
It's so fantastic. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on. And we're going to try to get through these as quickly as possible. I know you guys didn't have time to read off the comments last week. So I'm in Love by Anakin J.K. Gadsby. You guys are the group of nerds I wish I had. I never had anyone to geek out with, so it's always great to hear you discussing, making me wish I was there as well. Loved it on the first episode. I've only listened to 2 episodes so far, and I love it after listening to The Writing of the Wall, my favorite AOS episode. So far, this is the only AOS podcast I've found and has had women, and I really appreciate that. We appreciate being here. It's nice to have female voices.
It is. It's great.
Yep. Way to go, Zach and the Menguin by Bored Doggy. I'm going to go ahead and just power through the rest of these because we still got a lot to
power
cover.
On.
Way to go, Zach and the Menguin. A new season and new ships by Ernie KD. 5 stars. Oh, we have a fond farewell from Jillybean729, who wrote our parody song. She expresses her love of this panel, but sadly she says Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has gone in a direction that she no longer appreciates.
Oh, Jilly.
I hope you come back,
me too,
Jillybean, because the show is fantastic. I know what you're talking about, but I hope you can move past that because it is amazing, and we love hearing from you. Come back, Jillybean. Come back. We love you. Vengeance has come to AfterBuzz by Option Zero. Option Zero, you're the best. He also says the interview with Ann Foley was amazing. So, well done to you guys.
Yeah, it was really fun.
If
you guys missed our interview last week, it was really good. It was fun listening to her tell stories of like how she created costumes and her nerding out about making a Squirrel Girl costume.
Oh my gosh.
Wanting to. She didn't make one. It's what she would want to make.
Season 5 of S.H.I.E.L.D.
God, I hope so.
Oh, that would be the best. Longtime listener from Chai Town Los. Awesome panel by Games Ma MDL name. I guess that's Game's middle name.
Yep.
Great. Oh, 1-0, lots of zeros out of 5. So I'm guessing that's like 100 billion, million, whatever, out of 5.
Well,
this is a
you.
Great podcast. Keep up the good work by Ethan's 27. You guys, five stars from Jason from Cali. Number one podcast / recap show on AfterBuzz by Photo Freak 83. Awesome podcast by Hiloka. Madden. Oh, that's a very old one. And I think that's it.
Awesome.
Which is, give me more from S.H.I.E.L.D. intern number 33.
Oh, no.
Give me more, give me more, give me more. Ghost Rider versus Inhumans, please. You did get that this episode.
Yeah,
so
you did.
I hope you're happy, S.H.I.E.L.D. intern number 33. Although, watch out, number 33.
Guys, thanks for all the comments. I love hearing those ones where it's like, you know, they don't have people to talk to them about comic books and stuff like that.
I do, too.
I love it when they reach out and ask us comic book questions. It's the best.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, this show's tons of fun, and I'm sad to hear Jillybean's no longer with
me
us.
Me too. I hope, like I said, I hope she comes back.
Me too.
Because I understand, though, when shows go in a new direction, you're either with it or you're not, and, you know, sometimes that's just the way it goes.
But yeah.
Anyway, We have a note from Price again in the live chat. Where is Phil Coulson's left hand? I know he said he was going to leave a comment in the iTunes section. Sometimes, guys, iTunes takes a few days to update.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will have his comment next week, and or he can, Phil Coulson's left hand, if you're listening, take a screen cap and tweet it out to the world. Because, yeah, we love hearing from Phil Coulson's left hand, and I think he has some comments on this week's episode.
Yeah, I saw also in the chat someone wrote # science fantasy to describe the way Marvel does their magic plus like technology. That's awesome. That's a great term.
Yeah,
I
would read the heck out of science fantasy novels.
That's awesome.
I guess, would that just be time travel, like science fiction? Probably not, no.
I mean,
to a certain degree.
I think it's, you know, like the way they incorporate that magic is also scientific. Like, I think it's, yeah. I agree with you guys that, yeah, like having the Darkhold and having having the Ghost Rider is a really good way to tie into, you know, Doctor Strange is coming out pretty soon.
Very soon.
Doctor Strange is coming out soon.
I am so surprised at how quickly that has crept up on everybody. But yeah, let's talk about Ada.
Yeah,
because
let's do it.
A big plot thread in this particular episode is running tests on May to make sure she is fully recovered. But what the ulterior agenda is, is testing Ada's interpersonal functions against the most discerning S.H.I.E.L.D. agent around.
Yeah. They want the best Turing test, and that is May. I think it's an interesting thread that happens. The most interesting thing that happens is when Radcliffe explains lying to Ada.
Oh no.
And it's like, don't teach your artificial intelligence to lie.
I wrote specifically in my notes, capital N-O, several exclamation yeah. points, follow the laws of robotics, exclamation points yeah. again. There were many capitals.
She like mentions like, I can't lie, remember? It's one of my rules, like not killing people. And then Radcliffe goes like, it's okay to break the rules every once in a while.
It's like, don't say these don't things. Don't
say that to an artificial Radcliffe, intelligence.
Don't say it's okay to break the rules sometimes, especially if it's in saving your own life.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
if you just said it's okay to lie to spare someone's feelings. Like, okay. That draws a line.
Yeah.
But like specifically, he mentioned it's okay to lie to save a life, like Fitz lied to protect you 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I wish more times when you see people with artificial intelligence, like they would reference the like other movies or TV show, like because it's like Radcliffe, have you ever seen a movie?
Read Dream of Electric Sheep? I don't.
Have you seen any movie that involves artificial intelligence? You'll know.
Terminator, iRobot, yeah. Literally anything.
Like, it's always a bad idea.
Specifically, just anything, especially where there's like a central computer that's charged with like protecting humanity. Like, yeah, especially something like Ada, whose job is to protect humanity. Yeah, she's eventually just gonna decide to protect humanity from itself by doing something really drastic, whether that's killing all of humanity first. Even just look at Ultron!
Yeah.
You live in a world where Ultron was real!
Yeah.
What is your deal? And I love... Well, what's interesting, too, is that she's not supposed to be artificial intelligence. She's supposed to be mimicry.
Yeah.
Because AIs are bad, yeah. as we know, because she's so different from from Ultron.
Yeah.
I called him Voltron there just that a moment been ago.
If the last Avengers movie was Avengers Age of Voltron,
I would that'd be so happy.
Very different movie.
It would have been a very different movie. And again, and a lot of people are bringing up the Vision in the chat as well. You live in a world where the Vision is yeah. a real thing. Person, kind
he's,
of.
He's got an Infinity Stone on him.
He does. And specifically with Ada, like, they've made it so that she isn't in artificial intelligence. It's human mimicry, as yeah. they put it. But when he told her that Fitz saved her life by lying, she had an emotional response or mimicked an emotional response, but not to him, just to the audience.
Yeah.
And so it's like, at what point does mimicry become the thing that it's mimicking?
Yeah. Well, you know who else mimics human behavior? Sociopaths. They specifically study people so they know how to pretend like they feel the same way.
And yeah, and use that as manipulation tools.
Yeah. So, yeah, great, great. You created a sociopath.
You've created a robotic sociopath.
Yeah.
Super, super. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
There's no way this could backfire in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. I loved how Gemma immediately knew it was not a real human.
She is such a superstar in this episode.
She was so good. I also thought it was interesting that May didn't figure it out.
Not immediately.
Yeah.
She figured it out as soon as Fitz fumbled over the lie.
Well, did she ever out and out say that she
did?
Yeah,
oh, okay. She did. Because she's like, that's a pity. I liked Ada. You know, like, I liked her just business. You know, she figured it out.
Oh, I thought, I didn't think that she out and out said that she figured it out.
Yeah, she figured it out. Coulson, like I said, is the only one that...
Because she was like, you've been hiding her from me. But I thought that was like her saying, like, this person's cool. I like her.
I think she outed Fitz, but, you know, if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me in the chat.
I thought it was kind of up for interpretation, where she's like, you've been hiding her from me.
I guess we'll find out for sure in the next episode.
Yeah.
Or the next time we see Ada.
Yeah.
Which, the next time we're going to have to deal with this actually is presumably in the next episode, because Gemma's able to figure this out very quickly, and she has been on a little bit of an adventure in this episode. Which, again, superstar Gemma, you know, going all vigilante, pulling strings as boss lady at S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being, you know, having Daisy's back and then being able to pick up on the fact that Ada's an android. she has to take a lie detector test.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that we learned about, is that S.H.I.E.L.D. has mandatory lie detector tests.
Which is kind of funny. Okay, we have somebody saying May definitely did not figure it out. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. All right. Thank you for saying. You are someone, wrong.
There are a lot of people in the chat who are saying Ada is in love with Fitz. Which to me is like, or she's mimicking love with Fitz.
Because she's a robotic sociopath. Yeah. right. We'll talk about it more later. But Simmons has to take a polygraph test the following day. I think that's kind of just a TV funny thing, because polygraph tests are a load of malarkey.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not all a load of malarkey, but they're easily, if you are trained to, like, pass a polygraph test, you can pass a polygraph test.
Very easily. Plenty of sociopaths
have
done it.
Actors. All you have to do is basically believe what you're saying is the truth, even if it's not.
Or just, you know, control your heart rate. Yeah. And general, don't sweat a lot.
But I'm going to guess that there's some sort of super science lie detector test that they have.
Oh yeah, because this is S.H.I.E.L.D. science. Yeah. It's gonna be like, yeah, a major, they had the means of being able to bring Coulson back to life. I feel like super polygraph is probably in their asset list somewhere.
I also like just the logic of it. Like, I never even thought about it before, but it makes sense if you are part of an espionage organization that you would have to take lie detector tests and be monitored all the time, in case you're a double agent or anything like that.
Especially makes sense given S.H.I.E.L.D.'s history.
Yeah.
Because so many of Hydra's agents were so firmly, deeply rooted in S.H.I.E.L.D. for so long. Like, it makes complete and total sense that you would want to make sure that that never happens again.
And that no one is exempt from it. Like, Gemma, who's proven time and time again to be a super loyal, responsible agent.
But Ward was able to skirt around the polygraph test when they were doing that, prior to everybody learning that he was a Hydra agent, he was able to get around the polygraph test. You know, he had a trick and he was able to do it. So I don't know if this super polygraph test works the same way or if it's just routine at this point.
I like it as part of the world building that they have, and especially establishing the time jump that happened with this season. Had just the little things where Gemma just goes and tells the person to put the jump drive in and she's like, oh, well, she technically works for me. Like,
she's one of my direct reports.
She has to do it because I'm her boss.
And now she's helped a vigilante hack into the system, has gone on an AWOL solo mission, knows that there is an unauthorized seemingly artificial intelligence, or at the very least, android project that has gone on unauthorized.
A possible Ultron sitch.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way of putting it. Hey, we got a possible Ultron
sitch going on.
What would that code be? Because I know they always give code numbers to everything.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's just binary, we've got a possible 101114. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to code. Anyway, so I think that just about does it for this episode. Do you have any final thoughts before we move into some news and gossip?
I just really enjoyed all of the fan service that we got in this episode. We got, you know, Lola versus the Death Charger.
Yeah, we really haven't seen Lola do a ton since she flew.
Yeah.
You know, that was a while ago.
And I just like at the end that we have the team together. Like, they really took their time this season with establishing, the dynamic, the change with the time skip. And at the end, we have Quake, a.k.a. Agent Daisy, a.k.a. Sky in the jar. And we have we now have the Ghost Rider. Robbie's on board with the team as well. And it all came together naturally. And they took their time building into that story. It wasn't just immediately episode one. They're like, hey, you're a Ghost Rider. Join our team.
And he's like, okay.
And Daisy, get over it. Your boyfriends die all the time.
It's kind of just a thing.
It's your character trait.
I'll be interested because, like, she and Robbie didn't really talk a whole lot this episode. I'll be interested to see if he, in the next episode, asks, why'd you leave? You know, you just up and left. Oh, why? Yeah.
Does he say, like, your brother told me to go?
Yeah, if she comes clean with him or not.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
But I like that we've got the team together, and it came together really naturally.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I like that things are probably not going to be super smooth either because Robbie and Daisy have been doing, you know, have been going it alone for a good while. So I like that. And I like that, you know, it's back to being a SHIELD team. You know, Coulson's not the director right now, but he is still the head of this team.
Yeah.
And that the director is potentially, you know, another antagonistic force that they have to reckon with.
Yeah. And other cool moments. We got that sweet shotgun axe. That shotgun axe looks so cool. I want it mounted over a fireplace. Oh. It's so cool looking. Also, we got the bionic arm just snapping a gun in half.
If you know any prop masters that we can, like, commission to make the shotgun axe.
I might know someone who could do that.
We'll have to talk. Yeah. We'll have to talk. This needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I thought this episode was fantastic from the Ghost Rider Hellfire fight.
Yeah.
You know, the car chase, all of the character development. I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, Colby Smothers spills the beans on Infinity War.
Yeah, guys, on Jimmy Kimmel, Colby Smothers spilled all the beans.
Literally spilled all the beans.
She literally spilled all the beans.
Ugh, pun humor. It's the worst.
On Jimmy Kimmel, they had Colby Smothers take a can of beans and spill it on the poster for Infinity War.
So that they could say she spilled the beans.
So they could destroy the internet and have everyone go and watch the video. But also, she did confirm that she was going to be in Infinity War. So we at least know that we're going to get some sweet, sweet Colby Smothers in Infinity War action. I don't know what she's going to do fighting a Titan.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that because I miss Maria Hill.
Yeah, Maria Hill's fantastic.
She's always a very interesting character in, you know, whatever role that she's playing in the grand scheme of things. It's always a joy to see her.
I wish she was more present in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do too.
Because Colby Smothers is a TV actress who kind of has transferred over and, like, she works, she is a director in S.H.I.E.L.D. She would work great in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe. And
yeah, it's kind of a question of, like, what is she doing right now?
Yeah. And also, like, she would be great interacting with this team on a regular
and
basis.
I'd love to see how she'd interact with the new director.
Yeah.
Like, it would be fantastic. All right, we're going to move away from news and gossip really quick to give you some rapid-fire predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yeah, I mean, I think most likely we're going to get a Ghostbusters joke next episode.
Da-da-da-da-da. I hope they get a van and call it the Mystery Machine.
Yeah, like, a lot of ghosty stuff, a lot of spirits, a lot of spooky things.
Like Zoinks, man.
It's going to be great. Halloween's coming up, so.
You know, that is a good point. It would be really nice to have, like, a very spooky episode come Halloween time. I agree wholeheartedly. I feel like we're going to get... I don't know how long it's going to be until we actually get to see the Darkhold. We've got a picture of it now.
It looks freaky.
This season has been moving at a pretty quick clip. So we might even get the Darkhold, you know, as close as the next episode. I would love it.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would be really great to actually see what this book is capable of.
Yeah.
All right. I think that just about does it. Jesse, where can people go if they want to find you?
If you want to find me on the internet, you can find me at JessKlein1 on Twitter and Instagram. That's JessKlein, the number one. I'll talk to you about comic books or comedy stuff. That's kind of my deal. I do live comedy all over the Los Angeles area if you want to find me and see me do jokes.
He does the best jokes.
I do all the good jokes.
They're pretty fantastic.
Knock, knock. cross the road jokes, all the jokes.
You know, the standard.
Yeah.
Standard stuff. But really well executed. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to follow Jay Ajouri on Twitter and at ThatZachWilson as well. And like we said, tune into The Tomorrow Show on Thursday for a very special treat.
Yep.
Thank you guys so, so much for watching. Thank you to everybody in the hashtag and the live chat. We love you. Don't forget to leave an iTunes comment. See you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.